Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, it's time. Welcome to the NAAEA Community Conversation. It's your man Marvin Brown. Got another excellent conversation for you today. Sit back, listen, learn, and grow. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We are here to create dialogue, to look for understanding, to look for solutions, and to be a source for our community to improve, to get better, to get stronger, to do the things that we need to do to get started. So today, before we get started, I'd like to talk about the NAAEA as always. And our mission with the NAAEA is to ensure that the needs of the African-American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our community to become the best people we can be. We will do that through programs and services and activities that help our people to become the great, great people that we can become through politics, economics, athletics, which encompasses health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. And today our community conversation will be centered around the elimination of poverty in the African American or Black community here in Richmond, Virginia. Today I have with me Brother George and also Brother James. James is a community advocate in Richmond, Virginia, and Brother George is our resident NAAEA scholar. I welcome Brother George to the show.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the invitation, and I'm very happy to, you know, have a community discussion with Brother James. And the NAAEA is on the move, brother.
Today I'm honored to be here in a room for greatness and the Father.
All right, so let's get started. Today we're going to talk about issues that will impact our community. And we know that here in Richmond, the protests have been going really, really strong. And so we want to kind of dig into what are some of the issues that we're facing here in Richmond and what are some of the solutions. And so we'll start with the protests. Brother James, what do you have?
All right, well, I see a lot of energy going on right now here in the city of Richmond, Virginia. You know, energy that I've never seen before in our city. It's a good time in the world for us as African-American people. It's a good time for us to really put our feet to the ground and really get something done with the energy that's going on right now. You know, I want to commend all of those who are doing the work, you know, and trying to push this thing forward and challenging the system of racism and tearing down systems of racism right here in the city of Richmond, Virginia. It's a beautiful thing to sit back and watch. I just want to reach out to those who are doing the protests and talk a little bit so that we can all better get in line together and really push this thing forward, you know, and have conversations around the work that's being done on all sides. You know, I think if we all get in this fight together and push this system together, we can really be very, very, very effective in changing some things for generations coming behind us. Some of the things that I see down at the actual, you know, monuments and stuff like that I just want to make, you know, Black people really aware of is the risk. You know, it's a good thing to go down there. It's a good thing to protest. It's a good thing to be a part of something, but we have to talk about these risks out there. It's known white supremacist groups that's been making accusations and threats about going down to the monuments and really hurting people. So I caution all people to really be careful with taking the children down to the statues. And I know we all want to be a part of history. This is the history in our city. This is something that's very beautiful. But I really do caution us from going down to the statues and taking the kids, because right now this isn't safe because of the threats that's out there. So I really, really, really do caution that.
Okay, brother, can you talk a little bit about the risks or the perceived risks that you know that are happening down on the ground?
Yes, sir. So some of the risks
that's been coming into the actual city are groups from outside, from out of town. You know, you see the Confederate flags in the truck. You know, you see individuals coming out throwing bottles at people, circling blocks. They found, from what I'm hearing, explosives down there in cars. The police department has found explosives. I'm hearing individuals have came down to the statues from a very credible source and actually threw some kind of explosive or plastic in it out of the window to the crowd. We've had reports of individuals going down and driving cars through individuals. And right now in Richmond, Virginia, the head of the KKK for Virginia was incarcerated, locked up in Henrico County for driving a car into a group of protesters in Henrico. So there are some individuals that's kind of upset about that particular individual being in jail. So I definitely think we have to really, really, really take these threats very serious.
Wow. That's a great deal of information to digest. So in looking at what some of the issues are and in protecting yourself, what would be some of the things that you would suggest anyone who did want to attend some of the rallies would do to protect themselves or kind of, like you said, eliminate your kids from that? What would be some other things that you would suggest?
I definitely would suggest, you know, going down there early in the daytime, not at nighttime, because people tend to do things in the dark. You know, I've seen a different climate at the monuments during the day versus the climate that comes out at nighttime. So I would definitely advise individuals that if you wanted to go down and, you know, take your pictures and be a part of that movement, to go out there early in the daytime, you know, and try to stay away from it at nighttime because things get a little different at nighttime, I'll say, for lack of better words. But definitely going down there during the daytime, you know, and really being observant of where you're at and who's around you is very, very, very important, and keeping your eyes open.
Great. So this program is based out of Richmond, Virginia, but any city that you're in, right? I think this is a climate where you need to protect yourself. I think we really should do some security in terms of making sure that you don't go out alone. And if you do, that you're in places where you can get help if you need it. So we're suggesting that if you do go to a protest or a march in your city where you live, or if you're here in Richmond and want to go out, like the brother said, go out safely. Go out in the daytime. Don't take your kids out there at night, and be responsible when you go out and protect yourself. Brother George, I want to ask you a question about the protest. So what's your opinion on what's happening with the protest and what direction we should be going in?
Well, I applaud the Black Lives Matter protest because it appears to be getting the attention of the nation as far as the fact that Black lives do matter. You know, different racial groups that are not white, that our lives matter, that our opportunities matter. And it seems like a great deal of things are being put on the table that weren't there before. And I really would like to see a greater amount of attention given to how our community is policed. And so at some point, you know, I'm supposed to be in a conversation that is dealing with that. But I think that the Black Lives Matter cause is a very good cause.
Right. You know, policing is a major, major, major issue. And I think we really need to take time to really kind of hash that out and get some good reform. Right, some things that should be generated from inside of our community first. So people are speaking for us from the outside, which is good. But I think the voice of the community, of the people who are actually experiencing the issues with the police, of being police. Now, we know that the police protect and serve one part of our community, and they police us. I know that to be a fact. And so what we want to do is get to a point where policing is covered across the board. In general, that the law is equal protection is the word under the law. Brother James, I want to talk about issues in the Black community, and let's start off with what you know about the work that's being done here.
Okay, so a lot of right now in the city of Richmond, we have 40,000 individuals living under the poverty line right now in the city of Richmond. We also have families right now in the city of Richmond that are currently making $9,000 a year or less in a lot of these environments.
And let's really think about that. That's $9,000 a year or less families are making. And currently right now with social services, if you are making $15,000 a year, that's too much income to even qualify for food stamps.
Wow.
$15,000 a year is too much income to qualify for food stamps. So this is what a lot of families are dealing with. So you have
families that are living inside of RRHA properties. So let's deal with the clip effect a little bit. The clip effect is, let's say an individual that lives in RHA properties, they go out and subsidize houses for those that don't know what RHA is. That's Richmond Redevelopment Housing Authority. So an individual that lives in RHA properties, they go out, they get a job. Now, here's where the problem comes and the clip effect kicks in. Once you get that job, now RHA looks at that job, and now they jack the rent up and lower the benefits. Now the individual can't even afford to live in the household that they're living in right now. So that's why a lot of individuals, they don't get a job when they live in these environments, because the subsidies are cut back so much that they can't survive. So now you take an individual who was normally surviving off of the subsidies and getting food stamps and able to feed their children. Now they get a job, they're not even able to feed their children. So it's a lot of work that's being done in the city of Richmond right now to work on those challenges in the communities, because I don't want to call them issues, but challenges, because these are things that we will get through. But the city is doing a lot of poverty reduction as well. The city is really, really doing some things, some great work in the city as well on poverty reduction. So, and, you know, there's a lot of great programs out in the city right now. One is the Office of Community Wealth Building for Richmond City. They focus on poverty reduction in the city, so they do everything from CDL schools, trade schools, nursing schools, medical building and coding, phlebotomy, PCA, CNA, barber, electrician, HVAC, plumber, all of that for free for city residents that come towards the program. So all you have to do is come through the doors, do an information session, you get a career advisor, and your career advisor helps to put you in any kind of training program that you would like to be in for free. That's right, you heard me. Free, $9.99 is the price to get in the program. It's free, so it's a real good program. But I myself, I'm a product of that program. I went into the program straight from being incarcerated. So I came straight out of jail. I was tired, sick and tired. I couldn't run the streets anymore. I went into their offices. I got all of my training. I found out how dope the program was. I volunteered for them for 2 years for free. Got into the fight, and now I myself funneled individuals that come out of these communities into the program to get the resources as well for those. And they have direct community partners with John Tyler Community College and J. Sergeant Reynolds Community College. So if John Tyler's offers a course or J. Sergeant Reynolds offers a course, it's free. The city pays for it. So these programs qualify for all of those individuals that's living in poverty right now in the city.
Wow, that's a great, great testimony, brother. So you know. Right. And see, that's what we're talking about. We need people on the ground that know how to navigate, one, the system, and two, to be in the community that's an advocate for change in our community on the ground. I call it Virga. Virga is like when it rains but it don't touch the ground, or snow and it don't touch the ground, so it doesn't reach the people. We have to be able to get people to get this information in their hands, encourage them to go out, get a skill, get a trade, and become a positive, productive member of our community. I want to go back to one point you made about redevelopment and housing and that cliff effect. There has to be a way that we can advocate for a gap, right? That gap is to be able to get people to transition from one life into another. You just can't go barreling in without having that support all the way through. And I think that cliff is what you're talking about, that allow our people to stumble and fall and be afraid to take that next step because they don't know how to get to B. And so we need a window of support for our people because we're transitioning. I believe that we should have a reintegration model. I call it a reintegration 2020, where our people are reconditioned and retrained, motivated and inspired and supported to take those steps to act the mainstream, get in the mainstream. Right? It's like merging on the 95, right? You got to get up to speed to get to 55 on 95. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to get our people up to speed politically, economically, socially, culturally, and then engage one another in positive, right, behaviors that allow us to know and show love for each other. If we can't do that for each other, who's going to do it? Nobody can come into our community and help us love ourselves. Not at all. All right, Brother George, what you got for me?
Well, brothers, it's a great deal of resources that's out here for our people, and our people really don't know about it. You know, I really think that that when you look at the school system and you look at how information is disseminated to our young people, it's like it's organizations out here that will help you to purchase a home. All right, instead of trying to get an apartment, they have organizations that will help you get a home. I mean, they'll take you completely through the process, help you get your credit rating up, apply, you know, help you. They don't help you to apply for the loan. You do that yourself, because if you get your credit straight, you don't need their help for you to apply for the loan because you qualify for it. Now, a lot of our people are not aware of so many different benefits that's in this country. And it's that's for us that's in the community and in this country. But because we are not informed, we're so uninformed about what's going on, that's another part of what poverty does to people. It makes us unimportant. And so all our children think is, I got to go get me a cheap apartment. And you end up getting an apartment that might cost you $700 or $800, and you could have went through home to purchase a new home that only costs you $800 or $850 a month for a nice home that you move into, that you're paying interest into, that is accumulating, you know, money each time you pay your mortgage. And we're finding our children like, well, I'm looking for an apartment, or I can't afford this. So, you know, some of our young women, you know, it's like, they feel like that because the world is beating them down, well, I'm going to just go ahead and take that welfare check and live in the projects. I don't care. Or either I'm going to live in subsidized housing. It's the alternatives that are placed in our children's minds that make them do the things that they do. You know, if they were placed in an environment where the educational system was educating our children to more opportunity than just focusing on no tolerance, zero tolerance, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Well, the educational system was put together to solve the problems of the community in the first place. So why is it that our problems are not being solved? Now, I did find out that there are some special school situations that are set up where they actually do put certain professionals into that high school and certain benefits into that high school. I can't remember the name that they call it, but but the community has to come together and protest to get this type of high school placed in their community. And you know, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it because I can't remember what it's called.
Well, that's good.
You know. But at any rate, we need those type of high schools all over the black community.
That's true. And another thing is that, you know, with the, we talked about policing, right? We talked about what you really mentioned is the school-to-prison pipeline, which is in effect right now. So what we have to do is understand the needs in our community and address them. There is a need for resources. Brother talked about $9,000, and that's a limited amount of money to live off of. And some, we're talking about a family of four, right? I've done the research. So when you call those numbers, I was like, this brother's on it. Also, when you look even deeper, there's organization and communication, right? And so disseminating information out in the community, there's a breakdown that we need to be able to have better leadership from the ground level in terms of the grassroots people organizing to where we have a network of communication that gets this information and then push our people toward education in the community. Brother James, real quick, let's talk about additional issues in the community, and also let's get back to talking about poverty and anything else that you want to share with us.
Okay, yes. And I heard Brother George say something about housing, just to, you know, touch that real quick. The actual organization is called HOME. For anybody that wants to, you know, access that information, it's Housing Opportunity Made Equal. They will actually help you to, you know, fix your credit, help to get the bank loans, help for you to get the loans and all that for your down payment. So that is a really, really, really good program that actually Brother George was talking about. Yes, and to get into some of the other issues to which we see in the communities today, a lot of the balance. So the balance that's going on right now in a lot of the communities is a lot of it is gang-related. So they had a study over in Africa where it was these young African elephants, and they were running wild, and they were killing everything moving, and they couldn't figure out why these young African elephants was killing everything. So what they did was they went and grabbed some old elder elephants, and they introduced them back into the population, and the killing stopped. So a lot of the older elephants are removed away from these communities. So a lot of the younger elephants are running wild. You know, even back in the day with gangs had leadership. Now it's so many different broken down sectors in the city right now of gangs that is no leadership. So a neighborhood to have two or three versions of the Bloods or two or three versions of the Crips within the same communities that's all warring with each other. And, you know, for me, I see a divide and conquer thing going on with the communities, too, as well, that I'm trying to talk with some of the coaches because, you know, we're dividing these communities. And right now at the smaller level, it might be sports or this kid don't like that kid because he plays for Mosby or Fairfield and Wickham. But we're dividing and conquering the neighborhood, so we have to fix that. Because now that young kid, you know, he doesn't like that kid because that kid's playing for Mosby or Wickham. But when it gets 15, 16, 17 years old, now those are gang signs, those are hoods, and they're beefing with each other over issues that's three or four generations old. So that's something that's really going on in the community. And also the opioid crisis. Right now, fentanyl is running through our communities at an alarming rate. So I myself personally do Narcan trainings in the community. We go on the street corner, we pull up a table, I bring the health department in, we train individuals on how to administer Narcan, and it's all free. So we're giving this out in the communities, and anyone that wants to be trained in Narcan, what Narcan is, it's a drug that you squirt in the nose that if an individual is having an overdose, it will save their lives. So if you squirt that in the nose, it will help that individual from overdosing. You can get the free training at the health department on 4th Street in the city of Richmond. It's a very, very, very good training. I advise everyone to do it. And another thing to which I see in the community, the opioid crisis is affecting a lot because it's sad to say, but some of the biggest drug dealers I'm seeing right now in the communities are senior citizens. A lot of young folks don't get access to this many pills every month. So a lot of these pills are coming from an older population that the younger individuals are getting their hands on and is selling it. But let's look at the root cause of that. Why is it that the older population is turning to things like this? Because they're not getting any income. You have some individuals, the seniors, that's on a fixed income of maybe $600 a month, and their rent is $700 a month. So we have to do something with that. So we're even, you know, developing a team of individuals that's focusing on our seniors, to which I have the ambassador program. The ambassador program is 25 of us that come out of the communities. We get together. We strategize about things that's going on in the community. We spread the word about job fairs, resources that is out there. We go into communities to check the temperature to see if individuals are okay. And our job is to expose those suffering from lack of exposure. So right now in the city of Richmond, I take kids, I put them on a GRTC bus, take them to Broad Street, and those children are lost. They go a six-block radius, their house, the store, school, home. Their house, the store, school, home. And this is what a lot of them, you know.
Wow.
So that's a major problem because they're not leaving those environments. And a lot of those neighborhoods are concentration camps without gates. But the gate is around the mind and the way they think about life. So, you know, these are some very serious things going on in our community. And I'm also one that, you know, before I start pointing at, you know, the other side, I need to fix what's going on at home first. We need to have these conversations in the community about why we shouldn't sell our own people drugs. Why I shouldn't kill and shoot at people that look like me? Why I shouldn't womanize my own women? Why I shouldn't go to jail and leave my kids in the household with no dad around? We have to have these real conversations with ourselves first. I think that the protests and everything going on is very good, right? That's all good. But I need to focus on what's going on in the community and have some accountability for my own people and ourselves. I think that is very, very, very important. Before we go to sweep other people's porches, we need to sweep our own and deal with these issues that are going through our communities that we are creating for ourselves. You know, when our lives matter to us, it will matter to other people. You know, right now, you know, while those individuals were down at the statues and protesting, they had a couple of the protesters told me, they were like, well, it's safe down here and all of this. But in reality, I'm like, okay, well, 10 people have been shot in the city since you all have been down here. So that you know, that was safe down there, but these neighborhoods are still charged up. We have 12-year-old kids with AKs with 100-round drums on them right now in the city, where the thought process of the kid is not even developed enough to understand the true dangers of what they're doing. They're just grabbing the trigger and they're squeezing. That's why you're seeing the murderers, you know, get younger and younger. We just had a 12-year-old kid charged with murder in the city. You know, how did that kid get access to that gun? Probably from someone that looked like him. You know, let's talk about those right now in RHA communities. There are probably 10 to 15 cameras in every RHA property right now that just went up. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the heroin being sold at an alarming rate, all of the pills that are being pushed in these communities. We have to talk about that. Why are so many young black individuals on Xanax? Myself, I went through benzoylpsychosis because of Xanax. I was self-medicating because I didn't have any insurance my whole life, so the only way I knew how to deal with the pain was to self-medicate. It took me to go to jail and then be denied medical attention, and then a week later I came to in a terror-proof suit and a glass observation cell. They had to shoot me with an antipsychotic to bring me back, but that was from the Xanax and Percocet use. So right now it's a lot of individuals in these communities that are taking these Xanax. So, you know, we talk about the bad, but there's also some good things going on there. I see a lot of our people starting to rise up. They're waking up. They're turning off the TVs. They're detaching away from the music, you know, and they're starting to fight and get in this fight to want something out of life. But a major problem that I think is getting ready to plague a lot of our communities, I think, you know, the feds might do a sweep, because right now, a lot of individuals in our communities, you know, this unemployment benefits that's going on, there are a lot of individuals that are cautioning about applying for unemployment benefits and falsifying documentation on this paperwork. But this is the poverty mindset. They're finding out there's some resources there, so they're doing anything they can to get access to the resources. But in the long run, this might hurt a lot of us. Because, you know, if the IRS decides to come back around and do an audit, look how many people of poverty, you know, that have done this, but they were only trying to get access to some resources. You know, they only want some resources. And in these neighborhoods, man, if we have to start looking at these people as assets instead of liabilities. These are all assets if we just give them a shot. Somebody gave me a shot. I dropped out of school in middle school. I started selling crack at 13 years old, but I was wise enough to know, because I was homeless, that I couldn't go and get help. But if I sold crack, I could buy hotel rooms on Malopian. So that's the culture that we come from, right? Sell drugs, bang chicks, get money. That's ridiculous for us to keep perpetuating that same cycle. And myself and individuals like me, we refuse to push that same cycle, so I pushed the trades. We had a heating crisis right here in Richmond, Virginia, in Creighton Court Projects in 2017. You know, there were individuals that were going to RHA about it. Well, myself and some other individuals, we bid it on the contract, won the contract, restored heat to 95 houses in Creighton Court in 2.5 months with guys from Creighton Court and Wickham Court. It got the city attention because we also started an electrical apprenticeship program at the same time that's backed by the Department of Labor. So now not only can we teach individuals how to do electrical work, we're actually getting in and trying to sell energy. So we're working on a power purchase agreement with Dominion Energy right now to produce a solar farm to pump energy into the grid that Dominion would directly buy energy from the streets. We have to get into the game. Energy has just became the 17th cluster in the state of Virginia. That means it is signed into law that the kids have to be taught around energy, because by 2050, it has been signed into law that Virginia has to be 100% renewable energy. All those black folks in the state of Virginia right now that have family with land in the country that you're just paying taxes on every year, think about producing energy. You can put solar farms on your land. Dominion will directly buy the energy from you that you produce into the grid. The only thing you need is a PPA. It's called a power purchase agreement. Only thing Dominion wants to see is that you have the right to use the land. So a power purchase agreement, they will give you a deal for 15 to 20 years that they will purchase energy directly from your power plant. Now let's take this on the flip side about investment. Let's say you got 10 acres of land. You might get a 2-3 megawatt site. You can go up in the megawatts, right?
but that might cost you $2 million. You can go to any investor with a power purchase agreement, and they will give you the money because that's an agreement from Dominion saying that they are going to do business with you for the next 15 to 20 years. For all those black folks out there that's listening to my voice right now, all of you all that have energy in the, land in the country that are just sitting there, and your family has been paying the taxes on this land forever, please consider energy. Energy is where it's at. And see, I sit in rooms around energy, and I knew I was in the right one room when there was about two of us as black folks in there. I said, this is the room we need to be in. This is where it's going. This is the gold rush of our time. Energy. You know, the streets can get into energy. We're in talks right now to build a solar farm behind Wilcom Court to power the project. But train individuals from the projects is skilled labor to get the trades. We got to make those trades back sexy. Because, see, if I can teach you a trade, you got a business. So you can go and work for somebody, but at the same time, you can also start a business and charge individuals for your services. We don't have to belong. We don't have to beg to get in. We just got to start competing. Let's compete. Let's compete. Let's come together as young black brothers and sisters here in the city of Richmond, put all of our businesses together, and then apply to get one of these big contracts. You know, together, we're stronger together. You know, a lot of times individuals go and they go after the contract by themselves, but you don't have the capacity or the funding or the bonding or things of that nature to actually get the job. Now, imagine if 10 of us come together. If we come together now, we can bid on the job. So I think, you know, right now in the city of Richmond, it's a good time going on in our city. It's a time that we can apply pressure to systems that's out there, but it's also a time for us to rise up and do this. Now, if we don't do it during this time, when are we going to do it, right? When are we going to get in? But, you know, I just want to stress to you all that can hear my voice, please take a look at energy. Please take a look at energy.
Wow. You're listening to NAAEA Community Conversations, the elimination of poverty in the black community. I'm here with Brother James and Brother George, and that man just lit it up just now. Listen, you better send this one to your friends and your families in the city and outside the city. The brother said, if you got land, you need to be using it. All right. We have a brother here in studio right now that's kicking us the truth, right? And so I just want to add this. We're one community, right? We got to stop fighting each other. We got to organize, got to better organize ourselves. We got to reach out to each other. We can't keep fighting each other, right? We got to learn how to work together, and we got to love each other. The last thing I want to say before I move on to you, Brother George, is Black Lives Matter, right? But we have to, like you said, Brother, we have to demonstrate that in our own communities. Right. You're out there in the streets, you're out there working with people. Right. But we have to be able to get more men, those older elephants, right, to be able to do the job of training and developing our young men so they can become fathers and they can become mentors and leaders in our community. We got to do that. We got to do that. We got to do that. Brother George, what you got for me?
Well, as far as the reestablishment of the black male in the black community, that's the thing that you have to earn your way back to that position. I want to commend Brother James because he's on fire. He is on fire, you know, and he was really, you know, kicking a lot of knowledge that if you need to replay and re-listen to the things that he said, because those are great opportunities that he was just talking about. And these are the things that our people need to be bringing to our community at this time. Not a bunch of, yeah, well, we're going to sell this, you know, and sell that, and, you know, sell some dope and all this kind of stuff and F them ends and all that. You know, no, we need to start becoming an adult-led community again. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand, that different societies and groups of people function on levels just like human beings. You have some that act infantile. You have some that act like a toddler. You have some that act like a child. You have some that act like an adolescent. And you have some that act like a young adult. But we need to get back on the adult stage that we once held in this world as the scientific people of this world. And you just heard a brother speaking with that scientific mind that's coming back from him, from our great past as Moors. This brother is giving you some information that you could use to wake your scientific mind back up. And we need to reestablish ourselves in the black community. We need to earn our respect back from our women and from our children as being black males in our community. And we need to work on that with everything that you have.
Wow, that's so true. That's so true. And so, you know, our family's been impacted, right, from slavery. So a lot of this stuff just continues to go on from slavery, right? Like you said, you bang and all of that stuff that we're doing, right? Because we've been, if you will, sexualized by the system, right? So all we do is we kind of want to hit a little bit. You know how that is. We want to chase a little bit and have fun. But the real issue is that because our family is impacted, we're talking about poverty, right? And poverty is really the issue. And so you mentioned about self-medicating and living in the community and having to adapt to so many situations and circumstances. Tell us about the mental health aspect of life in the community.
Myself personally, for a long time, I never knew anything about mental health and the things that were affecting my life, or the things that were passed on to me from generations before me, like depression and stuff like that. So we're taught in these environments to be tough, to be aggressive. You know, we get into a little league sports, man up, be tough, be aggressive. You grow up in the community, you run the streets, man up, be tough, be aggressive. You might go to jail, get incarcerated. Man up, be tough, be aggressive. So your whole life you're taught to be aggressive, you're taught to man up, that you never know how to talk about your problems. I never knew how to talk about my problems, right? So I never understood why you know, I turned to drugs until I started to heal, meaning going to talk to somebody. It's okay to get help. It's okay to go talk to a therapist or a psychiatrist. It's okay. It's okay to talk about it. You know, and we're in these environments where a lot of times you have to hide that inner pain because people use it against you, so you keep it all bottled up, and then you see it explode, and now somebody dies and somebody goes to prison, you know, from not dealing with that bottled up energy. So how are we starting to curb this energy that's running through our communities of aggression? How are we curbing this energy running through our communities of manning up or being man when you're never being taught how to be a man? Like, I've never had anybody in my life to teach me correctly how to be a man. So, you know, when people made that statement to me, I thought being a man was being a head buffer, trying to take your head off your shoulders when you talk to me crazy. I thought that's what being a man was all about. So I encourage, you know, individuals to go seek help. Go talk to somebody. You know, it's okay. You know, we in the black community, it almost seems as if that mental health is it's a forbidden word in our community. You know, you don't have to. You can find your black social work, counselor, somebody to go talk to. There are plenty of black social workers in the state of Virginia. They have little groups and stuff like that individuals belong to. I think it's the Black Network of Social Workers, I think it is here in Virginia, but there are a lot of great groups that focus on, you know, those black boys in the community. You know, even in the school systems, you know, we come in school systems where the schools are dominated by female teachers, so you're not even able to be, you know, amongst men and even in school, so they teach you to sit down and learn a certain way when actually I have a whole lot more energy in me and I've got some aggression from life. So mental health to me in the community is very important. That's why the Xanax use is so big in this community. Why are so many individuals turning to Xanax? But let's ask ourselves, why are so many young black sisters being prescribed Xanax? Why are so many people in these environments having problems with anxiety? What's going on with the people that they have so many anxiety issues and so many things going on inside in these communities? You know, why are most of the sisters, their hair are falling out on the sides of these communities? What are these things that's affecting? They had a study. The study was they studied individuals living in Westover Hills and individuals living in Gilpin Court. VCU did it. And it was a 20 different year expectancy on your life by just living in those two neighborhoods. So they said people living in J.
Gilpin Court had 20 years less on their lives than those living in West Beverly Hills. That's what's going on in the city right now. Mental health is really very, very important. There are great books around mental health. You know, even if you wanted to pick up a DSM-4 or DSM-5, pick the book up and just start to read, because you'll be surprised some of the things that you read in that book. You're like, okay, well, maybe I have this. You know, I didn't know that I had, you know, PTSD. You know, I've been in cars where people took AKs to them. I've seen my first dead body at 10. I've lost 15 friends to murder, 7 friends I've seen killed. So I never knew that I had this PTSD. I had the same PTSD as a soldier. It's because of what I've been through in life. I never knew it. So I was medicating. You know, smoking the weed. Let's look at the marijuana right now. Look at the high levels of THC in this marijuana. It's almost like it's chemical warfare that's going on against these individuals that's smoking it. Because now it's almost as if the way the vocabulary with the community is going in reverse. People have they're using less words now. The kids, their vocabularies are very small now. So what's going on with that? You know, why is it that you smoke those drugs and you barely could think? I remember back in the day when I used to smoke marijuana, I had the giggles, I laughed all the time, had the munchies and got hungry. Well, they don't even want to eat, they don't even smile anymore. What is in this stuff? You know, what's going on with this? And I really think it's something that is you know, it's all being grown in the lab. I definitely think it's chemical warfare. And a lot of the children in these environments are smoking it, and look how they're acting, right? And let's look at Xanax. If you take an individual and they're taking Xanax every day, when they don't have Xanax, they become extremely aggressive, right? So that addiction is serious. It's benzopsychosis, right? I myself was taking Xanax, Percocet, and powder cocaine, crushing it down and snorting up my nose 100 miles an hour. I was getting 4,000 or 5,000 pills easily a month, poisoning myself and everybody near me. But this is what's in these communities. If you look around our city, you'll see a lot of meth clinics right now, methadone clinics. At an alarming rate, look how many people are hooked on methadone of our people. You can pay $14. Well, actually, you can go to a methadone clinic, get a background, they do an assessment on you, then they sign you up for the program, and now you can come in and pay $14 every day and get methadone right now in our city. So we got 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids taking methadone right now in the city. This is chemical warfare. We can't see it. So we have to really look at that. So now my body's already off a little bit because my eating habits are terrible. I'm eating oodles and noodles, drinking Kool-Aid and blue sodas and flaming hot Cheetos every day. So I have poor nutrition, which nutrition is linked to the brain and the IQ. So you wonder why so many of these kids' IQs are low. Look at the diet and what they're eating, right? Now let's talk about putting the loud, because as they call it, the loud marijuana, you smoking that on top of popping pills, and you wonder why the people that are kind of checked out of society. Is it that they're checked out, or that's the way somebody wants it to be? I don't know. You know, we can all, you know, ask that question to ourselves and come up with our own answer. But I definitely think mental health is key. A lot of our communities are mentally sick. Right now, let's check this out. If I got a room and I got 5 kids in this room, and all of these children in this room have the flu, and I take a 6th child and put that 6th child in that room with those 5 kids, that child would probably develop the flu. So it's not the fact that the people are sick, it's the environment. The environment is sick. So everything is being pumped into this environment that's sickening. You look at the corner stores, it's the fried chicken, it's the diabetes food, it's the blood pressure food, it's beer, it's cigarettes. Look at all of these things that's in these communities. They're food deserts, right? There's 1, 2 maybe grocery stores in the eastern part of town alone, but there's 26 stores around those housing developments, and all of them are pumping trash into the community. They're extracting wealth but not putting them back. These stores are probably taking $1 million a year apiece but not putting them back to our peoples. That's a problem. Now let's even look at COVID, right? Let's look at COVID right now. Every store in the eastern part of town here in the city of Richmond has gambling machines in them where people have been playing these machines the whole time, no masks on, during COVID. Does the stores care about COVID? No, they don't. You know, when you go in these stores, individuals talk to our women any kind of way. You know, are we going to, you know, start to stand for something and not allow them to do that? Are we going to start allowing them to extract all these resources out of our communities but not put nothing back? Then we got to look at ourselves as a people for allowing people to do this to us. So I don't spend a lot of my time pointing the finger at people. I'm pointing at myself and see what it is that we can do to fix it. We are a strong people. The greatest thing is we don't know who we are, the great people. We are some great people going on, excuse me, in this world, but we have to stand up and be the people we're supposed to be. You know, the city of Richmond, you know, it's a beautiful place, right? It's a beautiful place what we see going on right now. But let's look a little bit deeper at ourselves and see what it is that we can come together and be doing around mental health, around economics, around education. You know, the good brother Brown here, you know, he started me off at a young age giving me the game and telling me truth and strength. But without those gems in our community, that's missing. So we go to school, we get the whitewash, you know, education, you know, that Christopher Columbus, you know, discovered America. So, you know, since that week, you know, I'm going to come in your front yard and sit in your house and sit in your car and say, I discovered the car and pull off in it. Can I do that? But, you know, that's that mentality, but that's a little different. But, yes, but I think mental health is key right now in our communities because so many of our youth, they're being brainwashed. If you look at the youth right now, most of them have small Bluetooth radios on them or either headphones in their ear. So telecommunication hypnosis is real. They're being hypnotized, right? The music is hypnotizing them, right? It's programming the subconscious. Right now in the music industry, Chicago rappers are on top. Chicago rappers push drill music. Let's look at how many people are being shot right now in Chicago. Let's look at the culture of Chicago. So that same gang activity and gang music is being pushed down to the youth that we see right here in Richmond, Virginia. So now what are they doing? They're doing what they see. That's the subconscious is being programmed. So, you know, a lot of the parents, you know, sometimes, you know, got to go to work. So the music and the culture is raising the kids. But a lot of people couldn't figure out, like, during COVID, they were like, okay, well, the people in the housing communities, people in the housing communities, well, the people in the housing communities didn't really feel COVID because during COVID, they still had to go to work every day. They couldn't work from home. They didn't have that luxury. They're still working in your corner stores, your grocery stores, your front lines. They still had to do those janitorial jobs, so they didn't feel COVID. The facts of it is they gave them double the amount of food stamps, meaning they gave you $300 for each child that you had that was in school. So the food stamps went up, and now you have individuals that were getting unemployment seeing $600 and $900 a week. So this is a people that were making more money than they have ever made in life during COVID. So they think that COVID wasn't a bad thing. Then they didn't have individuals directly around them that were dying from COVID. So people said, oh, they didn't take it serious. No, it's not that. But life didn't really change for these individuals living in these communities because they got more resources in. But let's keep those resources because if you found those resources during COVID, let's find those resources when COVID is not here and keep getting the resources to the people. You know, and I challenge my people, don't get caught up in the money that you're getting now. What after COVID? What are you going to do later? So don't get used to that $600 or that $900 a month and think that you don't have to grind anymore. No, take that money and invest it. Start a business. You can pay $75 right now to the FTC and start your business. Start your business. Understand how to put your car in your business name. Put your house in your business name. Understand how to get those tax write-offs there. Understand that game. You know, we own nothing but control everything. That's the game to which they don't teach us, but we can all do this, even if you're in the streets. Understand how to make your credit good while you're in the streets. You got a stick man that's in prison right now, right? Take some of that money for the individual that's in prison and start to fix their credit and pay things on their credit. So when they come home, that felony on their record doesn't matter because their credit is good. They have a business. You can start a business for your friend right now that's incarcerated. And by the time that individual that's incarcerated comes home, that business could have been sitting for 2 years. Now, that's a business that's been in business for 2 years. They can apply for a lot of grants based on that and loans. But we have to teach our people the game. I tell everyone, start a not-for-profit. It is a lot of nonprofits running around the city of Richmond right now, poverty pimping. You know, they're coming in these communities. They're getting access to the Social Security numbers and all of that to put on their documentation so that they can get the grant funding. Well, guess what happens when we raise up our own nonprofits? I'm not saying that anything is wrong with those that's out there, but we can do this ourselves. We can start our own organizations because we understand the culture a little bit better. You know, I'm not saying that they can't do what they do, but guess what? You can do it too.
You can start a nonprofit. You know, if you live in Fairfield Court, you shall Fairfield Court nonprofit. If you live in Wickham, you shall Wickham nonprofit. And your business only focuses on the community that you're in. So if anybody come through there saying they want to do business in that neighborhood, they need to come see us first. We need to control the numbers, right? If we control the numbers, because here's the thing. They can start the program wherever they're at. They still have to come to us to get the numbers. They still have to come to the hood to get the bodies. So, yeah, you got the program, but you still got to come to get the bodies. And see, a lot of these programs, the way they set up, they create the program, and then they come in and say, this is what we have. Wait a minute. Why didn't you turn to the people first to see if that's even what they wanted?
Right.
We have to ask those questions, and these are the hard conversations we have to have. Right now, the city of Richmond gives off $14 million a year, I believe it is, to nonprofits. So we have to start rising up nonprofits. I cannot complain about what somebody else is doing if I ain't started one myself. So I can't get mad at the next person. I got to look at us. So most of the time you hear me talking, I believe in us so much that I look at us so much. I start at us because we have to look at ourselves. If those kids don't learn true history, are we teaching them? If those kids don't know nothing about business, start a business. You can start a business for your child. Right now, start a business for your child and then pay your child through that business. Start a business right now. Or you want to start a cleaning business? Start them a little LLC, the LLC to take out the trash every day. And start to teach your child how to send you invoices and all that for their services. Teaching the kids early. You know, we got a board game out right now. It's called the entrepreneurshipboardgame.com. It's called the Entrepreneur Board Game. We created a board game that teaches kids how to start their own business. Entrepreneurboardgame.com. You can order it right now. We got the Return of the Rising Citizen. We got the Spanish version as well. And we got Veterapreneur. It teaches veterans how to come out of the service and start a business. It teaches individuals how to come out of prison and start a business. You can look at all that at entrepreneurboardgame.com. But we have to stop playing these games with our children to teach them things. We have to teach our people because most of us are suffering from lack of exposure.
Wow. You're listening to NAAEA Community Conversations. This is a hot one. This brother is on fire here. The elimination of poverty in Black Richmond, but in Black America, right? He gave you all the formulas. All we have to do now is understand politics, have an economic plan, take care of your health. The brother's laying it down, right? Eat healthy, work out, take care of your body, get off those pills, stop polluting your mind and your body, and let's get to work of culture and being proud of ourselves once again and educate ourselves and our community. That's the only way. We know right now our community is in crisis. We're in crisis. And what happens when you're in a crisis? You got to sound the alarm. The alarm should go out. The firefighters and the police and everybody else should come and try to put out the or rectify the situation. And we have to do that. Nobody else could do that for us. So let's take a long look at ourselves, like the brother mentioned earlier, and let's do the work of working on ourselves. If we commit to becoming accountable to ourselves and our community and do the work, right? You got to be honest with yourself about some stuff that you're doing or that you did, right? But today is the first day of the rest of your life. Listen to this conversation, play it over and over and over again, share it with your family and friends. This brother is giving it to you, right? It's from the ground up, and that's how we got to grow. You put a seed in the ground, you water it, give it some sunlight, and guess what? It's going to grow like this brother doing it. No matter where you've been or what you've been through, you can be an asset to our community by doing the work. Brother George, what you got?
Well, this is really the Brother James Show. But what I did want to say was that we need to go on a cleanup campaign. We got to start cleaning ourselves up as a people and get ourselves back into our right mind and our right way of thinking, because all the opportunity in the world is sitting right there for us. We live in the richest country in the world. So the resources are here. The resources are here. We just have to use our minds to take advantage of it again. And in order to do that, we're going to have to clean ourselves up. I mean, Brother James has led you down the path. He's led you down the path, just like in The Wizard of Oz. And all we got to do is click our goddamn heels, because we got everything already.
All right, Brother George. We're getting to close to 5 minutes left. So I want to ask this one question to you, Brother James, and that is leadership. All right, we have a void in leadership. You mentioned a lot of times our young men don't have proper leadership, and even our young ladies, right? We have a mental health issue. We got a substance issue. We got a whole lot of issues, but we don't have the proper leadership to get things in gear. What are some of your thoughts on leadership? And then we'll close out with a few statements.
For me, I pay close attention to my network. I think your network is very, very, very important. The network of that mastermind alliance, for lack of better words. And I got that out of a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, because I studied those who are in power and how they got to power, because they play the game, so we need to play the game as well. For me, leadership is about that core group of five individuals that's around me. That they might not be from my immediate circle, but these are individuals that I can ask the real questions that helps me to broaden my vision, because if you're the smartest one in the room, you need to change the room. You need to go in rooms that forces you to grow. You know, so I think leadership, you know, even myself, I was a guy that sold drugs. I think most of those individuals that were out there selling drugs and they were good at it, they're true leaders. They are leaders. You just got the wrong product. Right, and you know, I think if you can pull away from that and use those same skills that you learned in the streets, because you're running a Fortune 500 business, you have to look for the drug boys, the robbers, the police, everybody watch out for the workers. So you're running the business, so use that skill to lead, use it to build instead of destroying. You know, I think you know, myself, I look at our community and I say this strongly, because I know that there are thousands. 10 million knees out there, right? But there are individuals that just need a shot. So I look at all of us, you know, as leaders. We just have to tap into that special gift that we all have by the Most High, because the Most High has put it in all of us, you know. So, you know, as far as in elected officials, I understand that they are politicians, but we have to understand how to play the game to apply the pressure for our own interests, you know, because the politicians are there. Everybody's applying the pressure for their own interests. I think that our people in general needs to learn how to apply the pressure for our own interests, you know, for things that's going to suit us in our communities, and make sure that we apply the pressure and learn political language, as my great brother George Brown said.
All right, Brother George, closing comments.
Well, the closing comment I have is thank you so very much, Brother James, for coming this evening and sharing all of your, you know, wealth of wisdom about the community. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, brother.
Wow, this was a powerful show. This is NAA Community Conversations. Whew, this is a high one, Brother James. Thank you so much for sharing and doing the work. You are an excellent example of what it is that can be accomplished when you do the work of working on yourself. I want to thank you for your commitment to the community and being transparent and honest about what's going on and what you've been through. So thank you for sharing. The key here is when you know who you are, you get a brother like this, right? And you get a brother like George. Let's keep on working on ourselves. The key word is know thyself. Do the work in the community of working on yourself. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Community Conversations, the NAAEA, focusing on political, economic, athletics, health, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education in the Black community. It's today and every day. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. It's the only way it's going to get done. Let's stop depending on other people and depend on ourselves, and let's do the work of changing our community from the inside and out. But the first thing you got to do is start with you. Okay, change your mind, change your life. If you change your life, then guess what? You do that by changing your thoughts. If you change your thoughts, you change your heart. And if you change your heart, then you can change your community. It's been Empowerment 365 Community Conversations with Brother James and Brother George. Thank you so much, fellas, for being here. We're out. Join us on Saturday, each Saturday at 2 p.m. for Empowerment Saturday. You won't want to miss what we're doing. We're trying to educate our people. We're having conversations in a safe space where you can say what you want to say. If you're Black and you got an idea, talk to me, and we're going to change our community by dialogue and then action. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
long time coming, but I know